I have this friend. His name is David Niednagel. David Niednagel is a special effects expert. He works for Disney, and he's worked on several movies, but there was a time when the only movie that I knew that he had worked on was called The Day After Tomorrow. So this is a movie it's like one of those disaster films, like where there's tsunamis and there's blizzards and, I don't know, hurricanes and floods and everything, and it kind of wipes out the earth and it fills, you know, New York gets flooded and snowed on so that just the top of the Statue of Liberty is sticking out and that kind of thing. And so there's a lot of special effects in this. So this was his big break. This was his first big movie that I was aware of, and I was excited to watch it because now, like, finally I have somebody who worked on the movie. So I don't get to watch a lot of movies. I don't get a lot of spare time, but when I fly, I watch as many films as I can because they're free. They're actually not free. They're the most expensive films in the world, but they feel free, right? Because they're playing anyway. So you're on the plane, you're flying overseas, you're going to watch 10 movies. And so one of them was, I had to watch The Day After Tomorrow. So you know how it is on the flight, though. It's like these tiny little screens that you have to watch it on, but I paid special effects to this. I paid special attention to the special effects, and was like, wow, he's doing a really, really good job. The movie's actually not that great, but the special effects are fantastic. And then the best part came right at the end, where usually when the credits are rolling, you just kind of turn it off and go to the next movie, but I wanted to see my friend David Niednagel's name scroll up, so I'm watching. But you know, on the plane, the screens are really small, and the lighting's really bad, and it's kind of dim, and there's smudge marks on it, and so I'm like squinting every name that goes past, like squint, nope, 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 and I'm doing this for, I mean, it's like a two-hour movie, and I've been watching the whole movie for this moment, and as the names are scrolling, somebody taps me on the shoulder, and it's this mom who's like, my baby's bottle, I think, is under your chair, and I wanted to say, don't bug me now, I'm doing something really important, but I thought, imagine how lame that would sound if she saw I'm watching the credits. So I was like, okay, what would Jesus do? Okay, so I look, I find the annoying bottle and give it to her, and then start squinting again, and I didn't see his name. It must have rolled over while I was looking down. And by then, my eyes were so bloodshot, and I was so tired, I didn't want to rewind and do it all over again. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure that he wasn't lying to me. I'm pretty sure that his name was probably there. But it's the only time in my life that I was actually interested in seeing the credits. And I think that sometimes what happens for us, and the only reason I was interested in seeing the credits is because I knew somebody that had done the behind-the-scenes stuff. And it's the same when we're reading the Bible. At the end of the epistles, there's often this list of names that Paul sends greetings to and mentions a word or two about them, and you kind of skip over them. It's like, oh, he's reading the credits. Let's go to the next book. And if you do that, you would miss out on meeting a very important character. Well, he's not very important in the narrative, but he is in the work. And his name is Tychicus. So you thought you were going to meet the Brannans tonight. That's going to happen next week because of the Grand Prix that's happening downstairs. But we are going to meet somebody new today. We're going to meet Tychicus. So turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, right at the end of Ephesians 6. And this is a man that most Christians, if you say to them, do you know who Tychicus is? They would be like, I have no idea. Is he only mentioned once in some obscure passage? And the answer is no. Who knows how many times Tychicus is mentioned in the New Testament? Well, you watch five. Five is correct, because you watched the Alistair Begg sermon today, didn't you? Yeah. So five times in the New Testament, and we're going to look at all of those. Let me read for you from verse 21. Ephesians 6, 21, final greetings. Paul says, so that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And last week we looked at those last two verses. Maybe we can have David put last week's sermon after this one so that it flows a little better. I didn't realize I'd be able to get to preach on Tychicus this soon. But we're just going to look at those verses 21 and 22 about Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, who's bringing them news. So what we learn about this is that Tychicus is the one that's carrying the book of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which he wrote from prison in Rome, is being carried to the Ephesians by Tychicus. And so here he is, and he's mentioned. He's in the credits. And we're going to look at three ways to be part of the gospel mission that we learn from Tychicus. Three ways to be part of the gospel mission, and these three ways are exemplified in this behind-the-scenes servant, Tychicus. Now, just a note on pronunciation. I heard that today Alistair Begg pronounces his name. Say it again. Tychicus. Yeah. I've heard people say Tychicus and Tychicus and Tychicus, you know, whatever. We don't know. I'm pronouncing it the way the Greek letters go together. So it's a Tychicus would be his name. And I don't know how it would actually be pronounced, but that's what we're going with tonight, Tychicus. And the first way that we're going to learn to be part of the gospel mission is to serve the saints, as he did. And then we'll see stay the course, be dependable, as he was, and support the soul. We'll see what all that means. So firstly, serve the saints. In verse 21, Paul says, so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Now, Paul is one of the celebrity names in Scripture. We know that celebrity names sell movies. Some random movie about a guy on an island with no one to talk to for 2 hours. No one's going to watch that unless that guy is Tom Hanks. Then it becomes, you know, like a blockbuster, Castaway. You know, like you just put somebody famous in, and that's going to attract people to watch the movie. And so Paul is one of those famous people in the Bible. We are all on a first name basis with Moses and Abraham and David and Samson and Paul, but not Tychicus. Nobody knows about Tychicus. But how you wouldn't be able to watch Tom Hanks on the island. You wouldn't be able to watch any of the celebrities do their thing unless there was a cameraman, right, holding the camera, unless there was a director, unless there were special effects artists and scene dresses and the costume and the dolly grip, whatever that is. There's always a dolly grip in the credits. Those are the behind-the-scenes people. In the same way, the gospel mission and Paul's mission would not function the way we know it to had it not been for Tychicus. In fact, you wouldn't even have the book of Ephesians in your Bible if Tychicus were a lazy slacker who kind of dropped things and left things, was absent-minded, and wasn't able to deliver this message. And so in verse 21, this behind-the-scenes silent servant is called a faithful minister. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, and he's going to tell you everything. Now, that word minister there, the word minister is a translation of the Greek word diakonos. What is another English word that is used to translate the Greek word diakonos? It's not a trick question. Deacons. Yeah, deacons. It's where we get the English. In fact, deacon is not an English word. It's a Greek transliteration. But that's where we get the word from. It means a servant. It means somebody who serves, somebody who visits, somebody who tends to the needs of others. And this is who Tychicus is. He's a silent servant. He is a deacon. He's a behind-the-scenes deacon. There's no book written by him. There's no book by his name. Nobody was, you know, the people were, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. No one was like, I'm of Tychicus. Nobody cared about Tychicus. And people don't know name their kids after him. I mean, everyone names their kid, you know, Paul, Matthew, Joshua. Not a lot of Moses is around, but there should be. But nobody ever names their kid Tychicus, and it's a shame because he's awesome. Now, he was serving the gospel mission as it was spreading throughout Europe and Asia, and this is why we are all left on earth, is to spread the gospel, and here's a man who exemplified doing it well. Every church needs a Tychicus. We need an army of Tychici to go out and share the gospel and to not only be the one sharing the gospel, carrying the word of God, but being faithful, dependable ministers that are serving those that are sharing the gospel, like serving our missionaries, people that are going out there, spreading the word. And so when you want to serve this church, you want to serve the gospel ministry at Christ Fellowship, maybe maybe you're not gifted or it's not your calling necessarily to be a speaker, a preacher of the gospel, but that doesn't mean that you can't support the gospel going out, because you can invite people to hear it. You can volunteer to work in the nursery so that people can hear the gospel by knowing that their kids are taken care of. A lot of people, when you invite them to church, the first thing they ask is, like, is there childcare? I kid you not. You invite someone to church, the first question they have is the childcare. Because if there's no childcare, then, you know, my baby's going to be screaming through the service and everyone's going to give me a dirty look and I'm going to have to leave. So you can help the gospel go to people who need to and want to hear it by simply looking after their children. I mean, there's a behind-the-scenes, thriving behind-the-scenes ministry here. I mean, do you think the pew Bibles, if you take them out of the rack, do you think they just kind of magnetically get popped back in at night while you're gone? It's like, no, somebody has to do that for you. And the communion, you know, that doesn't just show up overnight, the little elves come and set it up. It's like, no, it's our elves, it's our volunteer elves that do that, you know. And everything that happens, the Wi-Fi, when that goes down, there's people in our church that volunteer to do that, the air conditioning, all of those things. So you can be one of those people by signing up, be a Tychicus. And another way to do this is when you go to home group, for example, you don't go to home group to be fed only. You go to home group to connect with people so you can minister to them. So be alert to their needs. The whole idea is that you're asking people about their lives and their struggles and what's going on. You're listening to the prayer requests that are being shared. You're listening to people praying as they're praying during conversation over the meals. You're talking about these things so that you can be in prayer for them. So that maybe if you have a skill set or a gift that God's given you that this person needs, you can offer help. That's where that connection happens. That doesn't often happen on a Sunday. Sunday's busy and there's lots of people and you kind of just have little snippets of greetings here and there. So home group is a time where you can really connect a little better with the people in your church and find out what their needs are so that you can help meet those needs. Be a Tychicus. So that's the first way we can be like him, is that we can serve the saints the way he served the saints. The second way is to stay the course. Stay the course. Be faithful. Because verse 21, Paul says, so that you may know how I am and how I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Faithfulness, dependability, was one of his key characteristics. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. And Tychicus is a guy who stuck to the job. He never abandoned his post. He never canceled on nursery duty. He never forgot to show up or get somebody to cover for him. And what's great about the story of Tychicus, if you look at the five mentions of him, which I'm going to read to you now, you notice something about his ministry. His faithfulness leads to increased responsibility, which is just a principle of faithfulness in the Bible. For he who's given much, much will be required, and if you're faithful with little, you will be faithful with much. And this is this man. So the first time we actually encounter him in the Bible is in Acts chapter 20. I'm just going to read these five instances. Well, one of them's in Ephesians, but the four other instances. And the first one is in Acts chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Luke says, so Pater the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, meaning Paul, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. So here we learn Tychicus and Trophimus were Asians. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean when you think of Asia, we think of the Far East. But here, Asia would be people from Turkey, what we now call, you know, Asia Minor. And so he and Trophimus are mentioned here. It says that these went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, and we stayed there for 7 days. So here's Tychicus and Trophimus and a bunch of other people, and Luke just mentions, like, hey, this guy who's mentioned for the first time in the Bible here is one of the people that Paul connects with in his journey that helps minister to Paul's needs. These are the people that were preparing for them, and when they came, they looked after us. Then we see him again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Colossians says, Tychicus will tell you about my activities. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister. Sound familiar? And fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that we may encourage your hearts. So he's writing the same thing in Colossians as he wrote in Ephesians. And from what we learn from this is that Tychicus was the person who delivered the letter to the Colossians. So Paul writes the book of Ephesians, he writes the book of Colossians from his jail in Rome, and he sends Tychicus not just to one of the places, but to two of the places, and calls him a faithful brother in both times, and a faithful servant and a beloved brother. And here he calls him a fellow servant in the Lord. Then the next time we meet him is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. In verse 10, Paul says, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So think about what's happening here. In the verse just above that, in verse 9, Paul is asking for Timothy to come visit him. So the second letter of Timothy is Paul's last letter that he wrote before he died. We just know that from church history. And in that letter, he writes to his protege in the faith, Timothy, who's the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And the pastor of the church that we've been reading the letter to. And at the end in Timothy, he tells him, "I want you to come visit me. You know, my time is near. I want to see you one more time before I die. And to replace you while you're gone, because I know what you're going to ask. You want me to go visit you, and these aren't just quick flights. It's not like I'm just going to hop over to Dallas, visit a church, and catch the red eye back the same night. It's like this is months away from the church. So what is the church going to do every Sunday for 3 to 6 months? Who knows how long? Well, I'm going to send you Tychicus." So Tychicus goes from being just a guy who's part of a group that meets Paul when he arrives at Troas and hosts him, to a faithful servant who's carrying an epistle to a fellow servant, a faithful, you know, beloved brother, faithful minister who's meeting the needs, and a servant, to being promoted now to the guy who's actually going to pastor the church. Not promoted, but, you know, entrusted with more responsibility than just carrying a letter. And we see in Titus chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, verse 12 says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing." I just threw that last verse in for Will Phillips, so that lawyers aren't all evil in the Bible. There was at least one, Zenas, that Paul was like, "Yeah, he's not useless. Send him my way." But anyway, my point here in verse 12 is, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me." So now, the same thing that he did with Timothy, sending Tychicus to look after the church at Ephesus, when Timothy comes to him, he's doing the same thing with Titus. This is earlier. "I'm going to send Tychicus to you to Crete, maybe, or Artemas," he's another faithful guy, "but Tychicus is ready to pastor the church on the island of Crete while you, Titus, come visit me at Nicopolis." So there we go. Those are those five uses. Just something else to be said about that group of Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, and Trophimus. That is the group of men that was entrusted to take the collection that was taken by the Macedonia churches back to the poverty-stricken saints in Jerusalem. So once the money was all collected, Paul entrusted it to these men to take it. So, you know, Tychicus is somebody that you can trust with the money. He's the kind of guy that you can have counting the church offering and you don't have to check his pockets afterwards. So he's a reliable, he's a dependable guy, and you see this as you trace his little career here in Scripture. He gets given more and more responsibility. And so just the point I wanted to make here was the fact that he's called faithful. It's because he stays the course. He's faithful from the beginning to the end. James 5:12 says, "Let your yes be yes, let your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." Because there's nothing worse than a messenger who doesn't deliver the message. Nothing worse than a mailman who loses the mail. Or an accountant who pockets the money. An unreliable person. Proverbs 10:26 says, Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. I love that image. Like vinegar to the teeth. Have you ever had a sip of something that you thought was sweet and it's vinegar? You know, that feeling. Or smoke in the eyes. Sometimes, you know, you walk around and somebody's blowing smoke and it just burns your eyes like that. That's what you are like when you say you're going to show up for nursery duty and then don't. That's what you are like when somebody entrusts you with a task and then you drop the ball. You don't show up. You're the vinegar to the teeth and the smoke to the eyes. You're the sluggard to those who send him. And that's not him. That's not Tychicus. He's the guy that says, hey, I'll be there on Saturday to help you move. Guess what? He's there. He's about to leave to go and help you move, and he finds out that his friends are all going mountain biking and they've invited him to go along. What's he going to do? He's going to say, I'm sorry, I have a prior commitment. You know why? Because I'm Tychicus. And Tychicus is dependable, and he's faithful, and we all need to be like him in that way. The opposite of faithful, by the way, is a saboteur. When you have people in the church who are slack with their work, they may not be deliberately going against the mission of Christ, but they end up being dead weight in the mission of Christ because you can never depend on them to do anything. Proverbs 18:9 says, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. In other words, it's the same. You're the same species. You're the same family of people. The person that's destroying the church and the person who does nothing in the church, they're brothers. They're very closely related. Yes, the one has evil motives and he's doing it because he's trying to destroy the church. You're not quite that bad, but you're his little brother. You're the one who's just useless. You're just the leech on the horse. You know, you're not contributing anything. You're just sucking the resources, and you ought not to be that way. Be a Tychicus instead. Don't sabotage the work of the gospel. So that's stay the course. We've got serve the saints, stay the course, and finally sustain the soul. I mean, be encouraging. Verse 22 says, I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus was an encouraging person, of course. This is the whole point. Like, Paul's like, I want to go and encourage the Ephesians. They're probably worried about me in jail. I want you to go tell them I'm doing fine. I want you to take them this letter. Tell them to memorize chapter 2. It's going to change their lives, and I want you to just encourage them. And who am I going to pick? I'm going to pick Tychicus to do that, because he's the guy that comes when he shows up. It's a big party. Like, he's positive, and he's encouraging. And you get Christians who aren't like that. They're the E-all Christians. How are you doing? Surviving. Okay, you're surviving. Anything else? Anything that the Lord's doing in your life? Not that I can think of. You know, like Eeyore, like the movie. And that's not Tychicus. Tychicus, how are you doing? Well, yeah, better than I deserve. God is good. His mercies are new every morning. You know, whatever's happening in my life, I'm a conqueror because Jesus is on my side. Those are encouraging people to be around. And Christians serve one another sometimes simply by being encouraging. Just be the person who, you don't want to be the Christian that whenever anyone speaks to you, you're telling them about your problems. Oh, I got this thing going on. I got this surgery going on. I got this toe that I stubbed. And, you know, I got this car trouble's happening here. And I got this leak in my roof at home. And then you see the person start like, oh, sorry. Oh, was that my phone? I gotta take this by, you know. And they're pretending that they got a pocket call or whatever. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that whenever somebody speaks to you, they go away feeling encouraged. That they've learned something about the Lord, or they've seen the example of Christ in you in some way, or they've seen an example of how to handle trials. I'm not saying you have to be fake. Sometimes you're going through a very difficult trial, but there's godly ways of dealing with that. And there's ways of instead of drawing attention to yourself and wanting people to feel sorry for you, wanting people to think about you, you think about them in your trial. I have friends like this who, a very dear friend of mine and his wife, and she is, she's suffering from ovarian cancer, and, you know, it's not going well, but every time I've had any contact with them before or during this trial, it's always encouraging. You always get off the phone thinking, I want to be like that guy. He's just such a godly guy, and his wife is so godly, and they're just so cheerful and resolute in their trust in God's sovereignty, and they're always talking about God's sovereignty in their trial. So if you're somebody who struggles with, like, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm going through this, and you want to change that, when you catch yourself doing that, quickly shift your conversation from that to, but, just But just when you realize, oh, I'm complaining about myself again, just say the word but. And that'll shift immediately the direction of the conversation. How's things going? Well, you know, I'm in pain again, and my car broke down again, and this happened again, and there was another rat in my house, and there was a fridge that broke down. And you don't even know what's coming next, but you know you just ended the complaining because the Spirit just convicted you. And now you will start saying something that's not that. But God is sovereign over these things, and we trust Him. And He gives us grace and mercy every day. And how are you doing? Because I got nothing else to say if I'm not complaining. That's fine. That's more encouraging than just complaining. Rather, don't say anything. You want to be somebody who sustains the soul, who encourages your hearts like Tychicus would. When you come to church, Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but what? Encouraging one another. That's why you come to church, encouraging one another. Now, just a little word about coming to church. That verse says, you know, let us consider how to stir up one another. You have to consider how to do it. You have to put some thought into it. I'm going to church today. I'm not feeling great. I don't want to go and suck the resources. I want to go and be blessed by people. And if they offer help, I'll take it. But I want to go with the mindset of I want to be a blessing to other people. I need to consider how to stir up other people to love and good works. You come to church with that mentality. Imagine a whole church of people that all of them are coming, having spent even just 30 seconds on the drive over considering how they can stir up others to love and good works. I mean, you can do more than 30 seconds, but at least 30 seconds on the drive over. As you're getting out of the car, getting your Bible, remember, oh yeah, I need to consider how to stir up others to love and good works. I just want to be encouraging to them. That's why we meet together. And in that verse it says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. Some people neglect to come to church. They neglect to meet together and to encourage, and you should not be like those people. It doesn't mean you can never skip church, like if you're sick or whatever, out of town, of course. But if it's a habit that you're neglecting the gathering, that's... And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are here on Wednesday. You're not the ones that need this. But the people online, hey, listen up, people online. We need you here. Consider how to stir us up and encourage us. All the more as you see the day drawing near. And sometimes you just don't feel like going to church. I mean, I get that. You're not feeling great physically. You had a baby that kept you awake the night before. You had a lot of responsibilities. You've just come in from travel. Whatever it is, there's always a reason. I mean, everybody has a reason. But every time I've ever felt like, oh, I just wish I could have a Sunday off, but I'm the pastor, people would notice. Yes, I've thought that once in a while. Not a lot, but it's happened. The fact that I come to church always lifts my mood. It always encourages me. It always leaves me better off than not going. And I've heard that testimony from the mouths of people countless times in ministry. I didn't want to come. My wife dragged me. My husband dragged me. My kids asked me, why aren't we going to church? I dragged myself out of bed. I came to church, and it's the best decision I made all week. Because this is how we get built up. So be the person that helps with that. Just know that somebody you're speaking to this Sunday at church might be somebody who didn't want to come to church. But they did because they knew it was the right thing to do, and they just kind of want to get it over and done with. And then they walk in and they meet you. What would you say to somebody if you knew the person that you were about to speak to, somebody who didn't want to be to church, but they're just there out of duty? Would you fill them with a long list of things that are going wrong in your life? Or would you try to figure out a way to bless them, encourage them? So good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go sing to the Lord together. You know, just these little, just paying attention to people, greeting people, saying a kind word to people, complimenting a person, offering to help with something, anything like that can be a huge, huge benefit. That's something Tychicus would do. So strive to becoming an encouraging person and be optimistic and not pessimistic. And you will become exceedingly useful to the Lord here in Mobile. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it really is a joy to see the example of our older brothers and sisters in the faith, like this servant of yours, Tychicus. And what an example they are of faithfulness and encouragement and dependability. And we thank the Lord that he was able to carry this epistle and Colossians so that we have them in our Bibles today. And we look forward to meeting him someday as well in heaven and hearing stories about your faithfulness in his life. I pray, Lord, that we would be people who share stories of your faithfulness with one another and encourage one another as Tychicus would. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.